We're glad to present your speaker, Brother V. E. Howard.
We continue the discussion of the subject, hell. What does the Bible teach about hell? There are three Greek words, each referring to a different place, which are translated by the one word hell in the King James Version of the Bible. This fact has caused considerable confusion among many people in their understanding or misunderstanding of the subject. The American Standard Version, along with other translations, corrects this matter by employing the term Hades in the place of the word hell in many passages. These three Greek words are brought into the English as Gehenna, Hades, and Tartarus. The first word, Gehenna, is the Greek representative of the Hebrew Gehenon, or the Valley of Hinnom. This was a deep, narrow valley south of Jerusalem, where the idolatrous Jews sacrificed their children to the god Molech. After the time of Josiah, this practice was ended and the place became a common garbage dump for Jerusalem, of all kinds of filth and trash and animal bodies. Even the bodies of criminals were cast. It was a deep, narrow valley with a continual stream of fire and smoke ascending. Therefore, it became the symbol of the place of eternal punishment, everlasting punishment for the wicked. Our word, hell, is the correct word, or this word, Gehenna, is the word hell, and it has a correct meaning as found in Matthew 5, 22 and 29 and 30, in chapter 10 and verse 28, and other references in the New Testament. 12 times in the New Testament, the term Gehenna may be rendered as hell, the place of eternal torment. 11 of these 12 times, the word is employed by Christ Himself. The second of these three Greek words is Hades, which is an example of transliteration rather than the actual translation of the original Greek word. Transliteration is simply taking the spelling of a word over into another language in the respective letter equivalents, while translation involves taking the meaning over into that language. The expression Hades is a transliteration of a Greek word meaning the unseen, or the all-receiving. This was the technical Greek religious term used to designate the place or world of those who died. The Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, used this same word to translate the Hebrew term Sheol, which has the similar general meaning. The Hades of the pagan Greeks was the invisible realm where all Greeks went at death, the virtuous to that part called Elysium, the wicked to the other part called Tartarus. The basic difference between the pagan and biblical concepts of Hades is seen in that the pagans conceived of Hades as the final abode of the dead, while the Word of God reveals Hades to be a temporary place of confinement until the judgment scene before Christ. Both the pagan and the biblical ideas of Hades included the two parts, one called Paradise, or Abraham's bosom. We read about that in Luke 23 and verse 43, and chapter 16 and verse 22. And the other part, or the other side, separated by a great gulf fixed, the Bible says. You read in Luke 16, 23. The third Greek word we will observe is Tartarus, which is translated hell in 2 Peter 2:4. And it may well be that the designation is for the location of the wicked in Hades. The Apostle Peter declared, "For if God spared not angels when they sinned, but cast them down to hell, and committed them to pits of darkness to be reserved unto judgment." The word translated hell here is Tartarus, which does not occur in another place in the New Testament. In Greek mythology, the word is used to refer to the place of punishment for the souls of the wicked after death. Surely the Apostle Peter, writing in Greek, thus used the word and its usual and familiar meaning to the Greek-speaking people, conveying the idea that these wicked angels were cast into such a place to await the great judgment day. Furthermore, the nature of the place of confinement is the same as that of Hades into which the rich man was cast, according to Jesus in Luke chapter 16. By four, it is reasonable to use the term Tartarus to refer to that part of Hades where all wicked spirits are reserved until the judgment. The apostle describes Tartarus as a place with pits of darkness, a place of punishment, such as is described in Luke 16 concerning the rich man, to which reference has already been made, for it was he who cried for mercy and relief from his torture. 2 Peter 2:9 reveals that the Lord not only knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation, but also that he knows how to keep the unrighteous under punishment unto the day of judgment, he said. All people who die go into Hades. When Jesus died, he went into Hades, or in the King James Version, the word is used, hell. Obviously, Christ did not go into hell, the place of torment, Gehenna, but he did go into Hades, the place of departed spirits. In Acts 2:31, Peter quoted David from Psalm 16 and verse 10, declaring of Christ's death and resurrection, "His soul was not left in hell, or Hades, neither did his flesh see corruption." Between death and the resurrection, Christ went into Hades. It must therefore be concluded that Christ went into Hades, but not into the place of torment. Jesus went into the unseen realm of departed spirits. Like the thief on the cross, about which you read in Luke 23:43, when the Lord said, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Paradise, therefore, must be a department of Hades, the unseen realm of righteous spirits. The day Christ died, he went into paradise of Hades. It must be understood from the Bible that Christ did not go immediately into heaven when he went into paradise of Hades. After his death and resurrection, and before his ascension to the Father in heaven, he declared to Mary, as you read in John 20 and verse 17, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended unto the Father, but go unto my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and my God and your God." Ladies and gentlemen, in hell, or Hades, there is a great gulf fixed, which separates the righteous from the unrighteous, the saved from the unsaved. The unsaved in Hades are reserved in the department of Tartarus. The Apostle Peter warned, "God spared not angels that sinned, but cast them down into hell, Tartarus, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment." 2 Peter 2:4. The narrative of the rich man and Lazarus, about which we have spoken, is a descriptive picture of Hades, including both paradise where Christ went and Tartarus where the unsaved go. This narrative is not a fabrication. Even though some might claim it to be a parable, the truth about the soul and Hades is not distorted nor diminished, but strengthened. This is something that happened. The Bible says a certain rich man, a certain beggar named Lazarus, the beggar died and was carried away by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in Hades he lifted up his eyes. To deny this narrative or to qualify it is to deny the Word of God. The rich man was in a place of torment, evidently Tartarus, while the beggar was in a place of comfort and happiness, evidently paradise. To be observed, the rich man went to a place of torment, not a state of torment, while the beggar was in a place of comfort and happiness. The body was buried in a grave, but in Hades it was different. Hades is a place. There was a great gulf fixed between them, so fixed that there was no crossing of that gulf. This great gulf is the dividing line in Hades between paradise and Tartarus. Remember, there will be no crossing of the gulf in Hades. Are you listening? That great gulf in Hades is so fixed that eternity-bound souls can never again cross from the wrong side to the right side. Neither can the saved in paradise cross that great fixed gulf, even to comfort a precious loved one who might be on the wrong side in Tartarus, in anguish and in torment. It will be too late then. My friends, who really believes in hell? What about some witnesses? Or let us consider an interview. Surely one of the first persons we would desire to interview would be Jesus himself. The loving, compassionate Son of God did not believe in sending people to hell. He died to save men from hell, but he knows about hell. In Luke, the 16th chapter, about which we have spoken, there is no doubt about it. The rich man died, and Jesus affirmed that he went into Hades. In Hades he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. Yes, the Son of God declared that this man went into a place of torment and anguish. Now, why did Jesus tell this? Was it just to make interesting conversation? No, my friends. Jesus' very thought was for man's good, that man should not go into eternity unprepared to meet God, but he gave his life that man might be saved from hell. 11 times, Jesus used the Greek word Gehenna to describe hell, the place of punishment for the wicked. In Mark 9:48, Jesus spoke of one being cast into hell, that is Gehenna, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched, he said. Yes, these are the words of Jesus. The Son of God knew all about hell, and he spoke plainly and boldly about such things as condemnation, fire, perishing, and suffering. Jesus declared these matters because he loved us and doesn't want anybody to be lost in hell. As the Apostle Peter revealed, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering to you, are not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. Jesus nowhere taught that all people will go to the same place after death. There are always two places, two destinies. Man has a choice, but it is definitely one or the other, heaven or hell. Jesus knew that there was a place called hell. The Apostle Paul, an inspired apostle, knew about hell and wrote about hell. He wrote about the revelation of the Lord from heaven and the angel of his power and flaming fire. He declared that Christ would be coming, rendering vengeance to them that know not God, and to them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus, who shall suffer punishment, even eternal destruction from the face of the Lord and from the glory of his might. 2 Thessalonians 1:8-9. Although Paul was a powerful preacher of the grace of God, and man's salvation by faith that obeys, yet he also knew about the wages of sin, that is death, eternal separation from God, and he wrote about it. Likewise, the Apostle John, the Apostle of Love, as he has been called, believed in hell and wrote about hell. The fabulous book of Revelation, written by John, pictured not only the beauties and joys of heaven, but also the place called hell. Listen to the words of John as he wrote by inspiration, and I say, are you listening? But for the fearful and unbelieving, and abominable, and murderers, and fornicators, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, their part shall be in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Revelation 21:8. And not only did the apostles of the early times believe and write about hell, great preachers of the Bible since then have written and preached about hell as the Bible warns. After all, why should men study and pray and preach? Why should we have special campaigns to invite people to become Christians, to be saved from hell if there is no hell? Why was it even necessary for Christ to die on the cross if there is no hell? My friends, the Bible does teach that there is a hell, and that if God's grace is refused, His wrath will fall upon the souls of disobedient men. Ladies and gentlemen, hear me. I say, are you listening? If we could take a poll in hell, surely there would be no unbelievers in hell. If we could but interview the rich man in his torment and anguish along with the condemned souls who are already with him in that place, we would discover a multitude of people who would exclaim that there is a hell. How tragic that so many people refuse to believe in hell until they join the rich man in his sovereign punishment. It is quite conceivable that while the rich man was living on earth, he had heard about hell. Most likely he did. And most likely he ridiculed the idea. Don't talk to me about the myth of hell. Just the figment of man's imagination, perhaps, he said. Don't preach to me in a hellfire sermons. I don't believe in hell. Perhaps this was his attitude toward hell. But what a change. Now he knows. Not only that there is a hell, but that is where he is. And now it is too late. Everything is too late in hell. No change, no relief from anguish and torment. There will be no crossing of the gulf in Hades. Approbation.